This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com, for the coolest hockey shirts you can't find anywhere else because they're only available online. absfam.com. Imagine for a second what the world would be like without a soundtrack, without the music, without the stomping, without the cheering, without the crowd. When you go to the Pepsi Center to watch a game, there is so much more than hockey going on. True, that's why everybody shows up there, but the experience of being there, that's something that's put together by a lot of people who put a lot of thought into that process. Sports fans in Colorado are spoiled by the money that KSC has put into the entertainment package that is the can, the Pepsi Center. So let's say that you scored some tickets to the Avalanche game, and with your jersey on your back and your beer in your hand, you walk into the can. High above center ice is Pepsi Vision. This is essentially an augmented reality tool for 18,000 people to enjoy all at one time. Every side of the Pepsi Vision has a high-definition screen on it so that everybody in the entire arena can see everything up close in detail whenever they want. This is what your eyes see and what you're taking in, but trust me, it would be absolutely nothing without a soundtrack. There's a guy who sits up even higher than that Pepsi Vision near the press boxes, whose job it is to give you a soundtrack for a hockey game. Enter Craig Turney, aka DJ Triple T. Craig Turney is a DJ for just about every major sports team in town. His job is to get you rocking when you need to be rocking, get you clapping when you're happy, and to make sure that you're having a good time no matter what the score is. If this sounds like the coolest job in the world, it might just be the coolest job in the world. We go deep into the deep end of the DJ pool to find out what it's like to be the guy behind the music. One of the questions I like to ask people is, if you're at a party and somebody asks you what you do for a living, what do you tell them?
I tell them that I DJ for the Avalanche, the Broncos, the Mammoth, the Outlaws, some Rockies games. I do the Rapids. Basically, I just tell them I lay the soundtrack to the sports action that they're watching.
That's pretty cool. And so do they come back with questions like how'd you get into that? Or
yeah, usually I'll get that, or they'll ask me, they'll be like, so wait, so what do you do? And I'll be like, I play all the music that you hear, you know, when you're at the stadium. And, you know, and then it leads to like, well, how did you get into that? And so then I go through my whole backstory of, you know, starting in high school, I worked for Colorado State University in their athletic marketing department. And one night my boss threw me on music. I didn't even really want to do it, but she put me on there. And then all of a sudden, I just knew what to play. I think it was from listening to Jock Jams growing up.
And I remember Jock Jams. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. For some reason, that was just how I got into it. I used to play music like at my brother's baseball tournaments and stuff when they'd come up to bat, pretending I was the DJ and everything. And then for whatever reason, God just told me that, you know, it just made it so I knew what to play. And so ever since then, it's just been a blast as it's progressed to where it is now.
So if you were at the can, right, there could be upwards of 10,000 people, I think they sit there.
Last night we had a sellout against the Blackhawks and there was like 18,000.
Right. That's a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
And to think that there's one guy sitting somewhere, I'm guessing up near the press box or something, who can actually make that place jump. I mean, make that place literally shake at times. That's got to be pretty powerful.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of self, fulfilling to that. From my seat, because I am up by the press box up on the third level, I actually can see out and I can see the fans. And so every time I play a song, I kind of see how people are reacting to it, you know, because, you know, depending on the play on the ice, depending on, you know, the weather, you know, sometimes you just have different crowds where it's a Friday night and everybody's just ready to party. Or sometimes there could be a Monday night game where, you know, people are just coming out and they just want to chill and, you know, hopefully see a good game. And so you kind of have to read the vibe of the crowd and try and match, you know, the music to what you're seeing out there. And making the building shake, that's kind of the coolest thing. Is during the playoffs with the Avs, we have like the pom-poms that come out. And just when you play a song with a good beat, just everybody has those pom-poms going to the beat. And it's so cool to see.
That's awesome. So I definitely want to unpack this more. But before I do, let me ask you this, just to get a feel for kind of how into this you are. So if you would win the lottery, would you still do this? Is this a thing that you would still do? Or do you have kind of a bigger calling and this is sort of a really cool way to pay the bills?
If I won the lottery, I'd still do the DJing thing. It'd just be nice to not have to worry about paychecks anymore. You know, it could just be You know, all right, cool. I don't have to necessarily do, you know, seven teams to equal one, you know, full-time job, be able to cut back and, you know, just focus on the big teams and stuff. And, you know, just continue to do what I love to do.
That's awesome. Not a lot of people can say they're doing that. So it's really cool that it's worked out for you. And I imagine there's people out there too, who are wondering how you even get to do that. And you kind of told your story about how you got started with it. But is this something that at some point you realized, you know, this would be really cool if I could do this for a living, or you wanted to take it to the next level, or did it just all just kind of fall on your lap there?
Well, kind of like my boss just one day at CSU, you know, she just sat me down and she's like, you are really good at this, you know? And she's like, you know, this is what you're going to focus on from now on. And so I kind of embraced that, you know, and back then I was only doing women's volleyball and basketball. And then it kind of progressed into some of the other sports. I did softball and football. And then, you know, then I went to the minor leagues and I had an opportunity that one of my coworkers from Colorado State started working for the Colorado Eagles up in Loveland. And she was like, hey, you know, we're a new team. You know, do you want to interview? And I was like, yeah, definitely. Let's interview. And so when I interviewed for the Colorado Eagles job, I actually did the first ever hockey game at the Budweiser Event Center, and it was the Avalanche against the Florida Panthers. So the first hockey game I ever DJed was actually the Avalanche against the Florida Panthers.
That's pretty awesome. They definitely had some history after that, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, it's cool. And I mean, I love showing people. We actually have a feature every night at the Avs games where we bring in a different person that from a group sales standpoint or season ticket holder, and they actually get to DJ warmups. And so I kind of get to give a different person a different insight into it every night. They get to press the buttons and everything. And I mean, I guess it's kind of, I'd have to feel pretty secure in my job to show all these people what I do. But I always tell them, you know, it's more about, I guess I still got to pick the right song. It's not all just punching buttons here and there.
No, you're absolutely right. That's the one thing that you can't automate or outsource is creativity and a feel for the crowd and kind of knowing what's going to get people going. So I think you're safe there.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I've only been to a handful of games recently, but yeah, it's a good time, man. That place is really, it's a production. It is. I don't think people understand what goes into it. And one of the things I was going to ask you too is, you have to be working with other people in the building, right? There has to be sort of a team that you support and they support you. Who are those people or what does that look like?
So on game night, we've got, oh man, I want to say we got about 20 to 30 people just on our staff. You know, we've got a director, Steve Johnston. He kind of calls the entire show, puts all the different pieces together. We've got an audio guy that sits upstairs with me to make sure that, you know, runs audio for the videos and commercials. As well as my audio and the organist's audio. There's a live organist. We got a couple of lighting guys, a couple of guys that do the advertisements on the board, as well as there's a whole nother production crew in a little bunker in the Pepsi Center that's doing replays, running the cameras. And then we've got like a promo squad. We've got a mascot handler. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. But that's kind of the cool thing about it is that like, not all of us are full time. A lot of us are just, you know, freelance workers. So it's cool because you come in and you work with your buddies for, you know, 3-4 hours, and then you may not see them for a few days or whatever. And so when you get together, it's like a blast because you're just hanging out, you're catching up, and then it's game time. Well, you get to watch pro hockey and get paid for it. And then you go home and come back and do it a couple days later.
That's not a bad gig at all. When did you become a hockey fan then?
So I wasn't really a hockey fan until the Avalanche came to Colorado. You know, we just didn't really have, it wasn't as big with the kids as it is today. I remember there was two kids down the street that they played hockey in the cul-de-sac, but that was about it. And then just all of a sudden, the Avs came around and so started cheering for them. It was at the Stanley Cup parade and all that good stuff. And then the Eagles came around. And so that's kind of when it started to pick up when I started working for the Eagles. That's when I really got into it because that was, you know, that's what I wanted to do from that point on. And figured I needed to learn more about the game, and now I love it.
Yeah, and it's an addiction, kind of like tattoos are for some people, you know. It's like you kind of get into it a little bit, next thing you know, you're just jonesing for the next game.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's so much going on, too, with social media and the way that people can come together, both good and bad, by the way, but also just, you know, it's such an event anymore. It goes even beyond the can or beyond just the Twitter stream of the Avalanche and things like that. There's so many people out there that are very, very passionate. And I imagine most of them show up for the game. So you've got a tough crowd that way too.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, you're trying to hit everybody, you know, you want everybody to walk away there that, you know, having a good time. And I mean, to be honest, one of the biggest compliments that we get, or that I get, is when people don't recognize the music, you know, nothing seems out of place, because, you know, if you play something that sounds weird in the arena, people are like, what the heck was that? You know, right. But if you're on point and stuff, and you're playing the right stuff that recognizable, people can clap their hands to have fun with, you know, then people walk out of there and they just, man, I had a really good time, you know? And so that's kind of the thing I always strive for. You know, if I don't hear any feedback, that's positive, because that means people didn't notice anything out of the ordinary that might've sounded weird at the game.
So two random thoughts on that, kind of off topic a little bit, but I heard, I think it was Eddie Van, no, it might've been David Lee Roth, but back in the day they were talking about their music and, you know, just how good that Eddie Van Halen was as a musician, all the things they could do. But they said at the end of the day, you have to make music that people are tapping their hands on the dashboard to, or they can't keep their foot from bouncing to, and things like that. I think there's something to that. I think it's almost primal in a way, the way that music can affect people. And then the other thought I was having is that it's almost like you are your own rock band in a way, where you have to play the hits, right? But it's still kind of on you to turn people on to some new stuff too. And I think they really appreciate it, like you said, when you can't do that, but you can't get away from not playing the hits, right?
No. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the way that I approach a game is that, like, usually the first couple whistles, I mean, depending on how the game goes right off the bat, I kind of try to play something like a Car Wash or the song Hello by Martin Solvig, because it's got a good beat. You know, Avicii's got some good stuff. It's upbeat. It's got a beat that people can clap along, or they'll just be sitting there and they're tapping their feet and they don't even know that they're doing it. And then that just gets you, I don't know, it kind of gets your body moving. And then all of a sudden, then people are up dancing a little bit later on as they kind of get warmed up. As well, sometimes booze helps too, you know, if they're at the game, have a couple drinks, and then all of a sudden it's Friday night, they're partying, and man, at that point you can play whatever you want and they'll have a blast.
That's awesome. Like if you had a playlist for the two drink crowd or the third period crowd.
It really depends on the game. I mean, like, there's nights where we'll have like Douglas County school night. And so we know we have a ton of kids. So, you know, that night I might play a little bit more pop or in the intermissions and stuff. You know, just a little more fun kid music. And at the same time, kids will dance no matter what. Like, that's our goal for if we're ever in a tough situation and, you know, you can't find anybody dancing or whatever, just look for the kids. They'll be up and dancing around the arena.
Yeah, and if that camera ends up on them, people get nutty. They get all kinds of crazy.
Yeah, and that's a, you know, that's a big shout out to our camera guys that, you know, they're able to, you know, that putt goes out of play and all of a sudden I got a song going and they're out there being able to find people that are dancing, you know, and then get back to the action and then, you know, 20 seconds later do the same thing.
Are you talking to these guys at all? Is it kind of a plan, or you just kind of, you put something out there, they see the crowd go nuts and find it? Or how closely do you work with people like that, the camera guys or, you know, just anyone in the can really?
It kind of depends. Like, there's some times where, you know, we'll know that we have a dance cam coming up, but there's other times where, you know, it's kind of what I'm feeling in the game. And so, you know, I might come out and just say, hey, we're going to play Hey Ya by Outkast. And so we start doing that. And then all of a sudden kids are up and dancing. People, last night we played Call Me Maybe during intermission, just because we just had some time to fill. And our camera guys caught some Blackhawk fan just singing the words and he knew everything, doing the motions and everything. And so then, you know, after that we went in, they showed him in slow motion singing and doing the call, the phone with his hand and everything. And everybody got a huge laugh at it. And that's just, you know, everybody doing their part and, you know, just knowing what to look for in a situation.
There's a certain chemistry then, right? I mean, like, if you guys had to replace half your staff, that chemistry wouldn't be there anymore, at least not right away. I mean, that's really cool to hear that there's more going on that way than you would think. It's not just people pressing buttons, right? There's still intelligent decisions being made by humans who are creative.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's totally a team effort. Everybody has their own responsibilities of what they got to do on a nightly basis. And, you know, they all do it to a great degree.
So if I asked you then, like, what the best and the worst gigs were, would you consider the Avalanche to be one of your better gigs? Or I'm not looking for you to call people out either. It can just kind of be, in your entire career, what has been like the worst gig that you've had?
Man.
A party, bar mitzvah, a
No,
wedding?
I haven't. I don't do too much DJing outside of the sports realm. I just started getting into like wedding DJing last summer because my buddy wanted to bring me on, which I should have done a long time ago. But it's another story for another day. It's really tough to say that there's been a bad gig. I mean, like, I guess maybe like a really cold Rockies game. Like, there was one day that it was when they had all that snow a couple years ago against the Mets. And I mean, really, the only reason it was miserable is because it was like 5 degrees outside. And we had to play a doubleheader that day.
That's a
But
lot of time to be out there.
yeah, but outside of that, I mean, like, I don't know. It's really tough to find a day that's not any fun in my line of work.
That's a really cool thing. You're a lucky guy. You really are.
Yeah.
I spent
I
a lot of
mean,
my past life doing photography, and actually, I've shot at the Budweiser Center a handful of times. This is getting off track a little bit, but we did this all-star game for our women's basketball league. And my buddy and I were shooting this event, and this lady from half court did a no-look pass, and it just nailed the camera, cut his eyebrow open. He looked like he'd been in a hockey fight, honestly.
oh,
And
geez.
that was the last time that we were there. I've shot a couple of Eagles games, not the one that you were at, unfortunately. But yeah, I kind of cut my teeth there a little bit with those guys and then moved on to Mammoth and other people. And, the wedding thing you talked about as a photographer, not something I'm interested in whatsoever. As a DJ, that might be cool, but those weddings, that's serious business. There's a lot of stuff wrapped up in that, and a lot of things can go wrong.
It's a lot of pressure, man. I thought sports were tough, but I'm like, man, this is somebody's day. They spend a lot of money on it. I don't want to mess up the bride's day or anything. So you got to make sure people have fun. But it's still the same old thing. Just gotta play the right tunes to get people out on the dance floor, and then it kind of takes care of itself from that point
No
on.
backup plans or no plan Bs if things go badly.
I don't know. I kind of think like my whole realm is working in plan Bs. Because I mean, I have 3 computers where I'm set up, so I'm always ready to go for whatever, big save, a fight, what I'm gonna play, if it's in the offensive zone, if it's in the defensive zone. You just kind of sit back and it's constantly reacting to what's going on in the ice. Or last night we had a child that was attending the game from Panama. It was his first time ever. He didn't speak English, spoke Spanish. And he did one of our contests, and so just she said, oh, he's from Panama. So it made me think, Van Halen, Panama. So that's what we came out of that break with after we finished up, and I call those like Easter eggs, or little things that like certain people in the audience are going to notice, and they'll be like, oh man, that's cool, that guy put that together. Whereas other people are just like, oh, that's just a great song, cool.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Those little Easter eggs, though, when they work, really powerful. Even when they don't, for the people who get it, it touches an emotional side for sure.
Exactly,
And
exactly.
I'm like you for sure. I mean, maybe you're the only other person I know with this curse, but I can seriously just hear a word in conversation and then a song starts playing in my head. I always have a radio station in my head, and it's like switching back and forth all the time. Somebody says something like "call me," and all next thing you know, I got that song in my head. Or like you were saying with Panama, the minute you said it in this call right here, I was hearing that song in my head.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, and then, I pick up my music from everywhere. So, like, yeah, like you're saying, I'll be watching TV and I see a commercial or on the radio and I'm like, oh man, what was the song in the back of that or in the background of that commercial? I got to try to track it down because, it's got a good beat or whatever. And, being that I work for so many teams, you can make it work for, almost any of the teams. There's one team a song will fit with.
That's awesome. So, how much of the work do you do? Sort of, I mean, it's the DJ work, right? But I think that, and me included, people don't understand exactly what that means because there's people out there like DJ Shadow, where his music's a bit different, and the show that he puts on, or like Chemical Brothers, right? These guys are DJs as well. Is it to that level with you at any point, or is it more just kind of these intermission pieces when you do the sporting events?
No, mine's different. I mean, those guys, they're producing music and everything. I like to think we're similar maybe in the way that they run their sets. There's a flow to how they set up their music that they want to perform at like a concert venue or something. And that's kind of similar to us that, it's like, hey, I don't want to burn Blitzkrieg Bop first whistle out of the game, because if you do that, okay, you burned it. You can't use it the rest of the game. There's kind of a flow. You gotta, like with the Broncos, you know, Jump Around is our game winning song. It used to be, you know, just when we played on kickoffs. But you can't burn it in the first quarter. You gotta let fans, you know, enjoy the game a little bit, you know, and hit it at the right time. So it's a little, so we're different in the fact that, you know, I'm just putting their great music that they produce, you know, into the best possible positions or spots in a game. Whereas they're out actually doing some real heavy lifting of, you know, producing these tracks that are great for in stadium play.
Right. And it's amazing because sometimes I sit back and I think, you know, what really makes a stadium song? What makes something that people want to hear over and over? How do you come up with the Chelsea Dagger? Which, that's a great band, by the way. A lot of their songs are great. I think people need to dig in on that a bit. But what do you see as the anatomy of a stadium song? Is it the 4-4 timing, something you can tap your foot to?
Well, we don't like Chelsea Dagger. That's a horrible song.
Yeah,
I mean, it was Blackhawk song. Yeah. But, you know, beside from that, to be honest, one of my DJ friends, he told me, he's like, don't go out trying to find like the next big song, because the problem is that you may find something great, but nobody recognizes it because I haven't heard it on the radio. So I've really kind of taken that approach, as well as just that it's got to be super recognizable. You know, if you want people to be clapping along to it and stuff, you know, you want it to be recognizable. So I kind of just go with the charts and, you know, what's hot on the charts. Okay, cool. We can mix that in. And there is time to occasionally mix in, you know, different songs, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But I think in our business, it's always better to stay safe with, you know, what are the big popular songs and everything, just because you want to play to the largest part of your audience, you know, that if they haven't heard it on the radio, it's going to be tougher for them to recognize it, as opposed to, you know, just something brand new. Or something that's been out forever that everybody knows and loves.
It's a delicate balance. It really is. And I think that, again, there's the upside of turning people onto something they haven't heard before. But a lot of that stuff's going to have some similar hooks in it, or drum beats that people can count on. So,
yeah,
I like it. I mean, there's a certain behavior psychology to what you do that is fascinating, almost like Edward Bernays style, to where I think that you touch people on kind of a primal emotional level of it. You know, it makes the game 100% better. It's like if you didn't have that, you'd be watching a movie without the soundtrack. It's just not as good.
That's a perfect way to put it. And that's exactly how it is. It's really weird that, like, to know that I can have such an impact on a game, along with, you know, help from the whole staff and everything. But, you know, like every time we play, everybody clap your hands. It's just amazing to just see these people will clap along to that until that track is over. And, you know, whether that's 10 seconds, 30 seconds, you know, they don't stop. And, you know, just when you see people dancing and stuff, you know, you're like, man, all right, these people paid some good money to come out and enjoy themselves tonight. And you know what? They're dancing. They're having a great time. That's right. You know, that's all. That just makes me feel good about the job that I do when you can see everybody going home happy and, you know, just enjoying their time out.
Right. And even if the Avs don't win, you can still be the bright spot in that night because they went and they had a good time. That's cool stuff. So do you mind then if we dig in and geek out a little bit about what your three computers look like and what you're running and all that?
Yeah, no, let's go for it.
Well, so three computers, I'm guessing Mac, but I could be wrong.
No, so I've got one laptop computer, just a regular HP, and gotcha. I run ClickFX software off of that. And essentially each page that I set up is set up by genre of music. So pop, classic rock, modern rock, country. And each one of those pages holds about 72 different songs. And they're little buttons. And I can't tell you, nobody else would know how they're set up. I know how they're set up because it makes sense in my mind. So I've got, you know, like songs that start from the beginning, songs that are at the chorus, you know, clap tracks and stuff. And then I also have a couple of other computers, they're computers, but they're not. They're called instant replay machines, and they each hold 1,000 songs in them. And those are kind of just like my hotkeys. So one of them has all my fight songs, save songs, hit songs, game show music, so that if I need to get to something quick, I can go over there and hit that. And I don't have to pull it up on my computer where I'd have to search out and find a certain song. And then I've got a bunch of big songs that I use for power plays and that kind of stuff, that when there's an intense moment in the game or a lot of energy in the building, and I need to go to a song, I can get to that real quick instead of having to, again, you know, search out, oh, I got to move around on my computer to find, you know, the right page to be on because I'm in pop and I really need to be in my modern rock page because we're going on a, or we just had a great shift on a power play or something. So
that's good stuff, man. I mean, it's no use having an arsenal if you can't get to it, right? So that's deep stuff right there. I don't even know how you would manage 1,000. That sounds completely unreasonable, but it seems like you have a way of doing it. And honestly, the work you put in to decide, like, you know, what does it sound like when we lose a fight? Or, you know, what does it sound like when we get an amazing goal that nobody's ever seen before? I mean, you have to actually stop and think about that, right? That's still in your realm, what you do?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just kind of, I have it set up so that, you know, I have some different options for, you know, okay, if we win the fight or if we lose the fight, you know, which way am I going to go? But at the same time, it just depends. I mean, if the crowd's going, sometimes in those fights, you know, if it's close or whatever, you know, you don't know which way it's going to go. And so you're just sitting there trying to figure it out. And it's just reacting to it and just trying to figure out what's going to work. And I mean, even if you do lose it, you could still go with Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right, and you're good to go because, you know, everybody's going to sing along and they're thrilled because there was just a fight at the hockey game.
Yeah, right. That never gets old for people, for sure. So, okay, that's all really good stuff, but it makes me wonder then, so for a day in the life of you, so I'm guessing that you don't go to the stadium right before game time. You're probably there a couple hours, if not a handful of hours before. Is that right?
Yeah, so I get to the game usually about 3 hours before puck drop. So it's 4 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. And so what I'll do is from about 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, I'm loading new music. I'm going through the script and kind of lining up some of the stuff I want to play for some of our timeout breaks that we have. As well as just kind of just testing the system to make sure everything's working. And then I'll set up a queue and head into a production meeting at 5:15. They usually last about 15 minutes or so. And we go through the entire script, check out our graphics and stuff, make sure everything's good to go. Nothing looks wonky up on the board or anything. Then we go grub real quick. And then I head back up at about 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, it's kind of my last little prep session because usually about 6:10 I have a DJ of the game show up. And so then I entertain them for the next 30 minutes with explaining kind of what I do, similar to this phone call. And then in addition to that, I go through the script with them and then they get to press the buttons for some of the reads and the different warm-up tracks that we play. And then 6:45, they leave and we're into our show and it's pre-game show and ready to rock the building after that.
So who's around you? Who are the immediate people right around you as game starts?
So the immediate people around me are, to my left is going to be the game director, Steve Johnston. And he's the one that oversees everything, kind of puts everything in place, coordinates all the different people. And then on my right is our live organist, Mike Fisher. And then I've got all my audio guy and the fascia guys and the light guys, they're right up above me. And that's our little world. And then hopefully it's all Avs fans below me, but sometimes we get some other fans up there as well.
Might have been the way it was last night, right?
Yeah. But it makes for a good atmosphere. So like some people look at it as bad and, you know, I mean, I think we all wish that that it wasn't as many Blackhawk fans, but it just brings a completely different energy to the building when you have the other team's fans because they get our fans going. And so I honestly think it helps us when there's some of the other team's fans in the building on a nightly basis.
I think so, too. I mean, that's what sports are all about, right?
Exactly.
And then you get a guy like John Scott who comes along and brings all those different people, all these opposing teams or rivalries together for the bigger cause, which is everyone's a hockey fan.
Yeah, exactly. It was amazing what he did and everything. And I'm glad everything worked out the way it did because he did, man. He had an awesome NHL All-Star game and the whole experience was good. And I think it worked out better than anybody could have ever imagined.
think so too. I mean, it's a really weird time to be a guy in his position to be an enforcer. And there's actually a movie coming out called Ice Guardians that I think is going to be really good. But I was talking to the guy who was putting that together, and you know, he was telling me that these guys are, they're crazy intelligent. And if anybody has pressure on them, it's them. I mean, even John Scott himself said that he would scout other players on hockeyfights.com. I mean, weeks ahead of time. And I think that, you know, the game's changing. There's no doubt about it. And you can't just be a guy who punches people anymore. You got to be able to play hockey too. But a lot of respect for him, what he does, and especially the way that, you know, the family has to support somebody who's being traded here, traded there, sent down, you know, never around us. I think it was super cool to see him get the limelight and do so well in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that sums it up perfect.
Yeah, and he really was good, by the way. I mean, he was sharp, witty, on his game, having fun. That was the biggest part, was he didn't look nervous. It looked like he was enjoying every minute of it, and I think it made everyone else enjoy it.
Exactly. It's kind of nice to see somebody that you'd never expect to be in an all-star game just go out and just get to live it up like they're a little kid and everything. It's funny, Connor McGehee, our in-game host, he would mention he's like Rudy's, or his story was like Rudy on ice. And then my boss last night, he mentioned, he's like, you know what, I bet you I could see a movie being made about this guy someday.
I could see that as well. I mean, especially when you have people out there that are doing the documentaries and putting them out on Vimeo or making the deals with Netflix. I mean, it's so available now, just like music, right? A band can put out a song and be on Spotify. Actually, there's a lady who at the coffee shop I go to, who she's like, oh yeah, I do music. I'm like, where can I find you? She's like, on Spotify. I mean, she's clearly not she's an independent person for sure, and clearly not a big deal, but she's got 5 songs on Spotify. That just blew me away.
Oh yeah, it's so much easier to get access to the music nowadays as it, you know, to it was when I first started out, like trying to get music off of LimeWire, and it was these horrible MP3s that some guy with the recorded off of his radio or something.
That was a crazy time too, when it wasn't necessarily illegal to get MP3s when they were first kind of appearing. I was teaching an audio class at the time, and I came across this format, and I'm like, what is this all about? And next thing you know, we had, I think, 18 computers in the lab that I was working in, all top of the line Macs, just off the assembly line. We actually had number 2 through 19 of these 9500s, which was a big deal at the time. Every last one of those was downloading songs. I mean, we were getting video killed, the radio, so everything you could think of, we were looking for it, and we were finding it. And anymore, I don't even have that kind of library anymore. I'm pretty much a Spotify guy, just because it's so easy, it's so available, and you know, if you want to find something, it's as easy as just clicking discover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And iTunes has been a huge help, because when we revamped our sound system and did the upgrades at Pepsi Center with the board and on ice projectors, we kind of revamped the whole music system over there and started playing WAV files. And it's been amazing. Everything sounds so much better, but it was a lot of work from asking your friends, hey, do you got any old CDs that I can burn? You know, you got the Foo Fighters collection. And my buddy, he helped me out with a ton of stuff. So it was awesome. And now I have the nice access to iTunes. So if I need something quick and easy, I just go on there and grab it, and then edit it up and get it ready to play that night.
It's awesome. And that covers all of the royalties or the rights, or I don't even know what that looks like, the business side of this whole thing that you do, but it's as simple as that. If you need it, you can just go buy it.
Yeah, I just go get it. Each of the different various venues that I work in, they've all paid out to ASCAP and BMI, because about half the artists are covered under each of those. And if you pay to both of them, then you're good to play any artists. And I just go out and get what I need. And then at the end of the night, I'll print up a report. It's actually called a BMI report. And what it does is it logs every song you played, the time you played it, how much, what percentage of the song you played. And then I just send it in on a nightly basis to the folks at BMI. And then I don't have to worry about it anymore. And they figure out who gets, you know, what percentage of what, and they take care of all the hard work.
And that gets handled in the software that you're using? You can just export the report?
Yeah, and ClickFX, it automatically, that was one of the features that's really good about it, is that it automatically prints out a report on a nightly basis for you. And it's formatted just the way BMI wants it. So
that's awesome. I mean, I think 10 years ago, even 20 years ago, what these sort of things looked like, technology for the win.
Oh, exactly.
Dogs for the win.
Dogs for the win. Must be a squirrel outside. Sorry about that.
Out. No, it's fine. I think you might have heard my son playing piano at one point. So we geeked out a little bit on the equipment and things like that, and kind of what you do with the backup plan and all this, but do you actually have to go set up every night, or do you have gear at the stadium that you just use, and then, like, for your own personal stuff, you would have your own gear that you travel with?
So I actually set up my stuff on a nightly basis. But really all I take with me is I take a laptop computer with me with a mouse and a stopwatch. And everything else kind of resides. It depends. Like at the Broncos, they've got their own music computer. So I have to go in there to load music. But the Avs, the Mammoth, they just have a laptop. And so it's like, hey, take the laptop home with you. Keep it updated with, you know, the newest tunes and everything. And then just bring it with you on a daily game or a game basis and just set up and then ready to rock out.
So at the end of the day, everything you're doing is just coming straight through like a USB cable or some sort of like a headphone jack?
Yeah, well, we come out from a USB cable into a Lexicon, which is just like a nice external sound card, and then into just a regular mixer out of that. So.
And so if you guys were to get some crazy feedback, something nutty is happening, do you have like a kill switch?
I just have access to the mixer where I can, you know, turn it off, as well as the guys upstairs. Last night, one of the songs was skipping during warmups, and we don't know what was going on. But I mean, it's not fail safe. There's still the possibility that, you know, every once in a while your computer might lag or something, and then you just got to go and take a look at it and figure out what the issue was, and hope it doesn't happen again.
That's actually why I was kind of surprised to hear that you're not using a Mac. I mean, not just because Macs are popular or shiny or pretty, but they're pretty powerful. So it seems like you just have kind of an everyday laptop that's making this work, which, again, kind of baffles me, but it seems to work.
Yeah, maybe that's something worth looking into. I'd have to see. I don't know if the software runs on a Mac. I'd assume it does. But, you know, maybe that's something to look into next time we upgrade our computer.
Yeah, and for the people who are listening to, I'll put that in the show notes. People always want to have these links to the things that we talk about, especially when I geek out and do these sort of in-between episodes with somebody who's, you know, it's at a granular level.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, okay, so these aren't quite the deep and profound questions, but I have to ask, where did the Mario Brothers thing come from? That one-up, we just killed a penalty sound.
So that actually came from Connor McGahey, our Avs Live in-game host.
I should give him more credit.
Yeah, Connor is amazing. That guy, I mean, he creates a lot of those little pumper or pregame pumper videos that we run. And the dude is just immensely talented and just very creative. And just one day he sent me this thing and I was like, what is this? And he's like, that's what we're going to play from now when we get out of the penalty box. And I was like, all right, cool. And I was like, did you check it, you know, with the league? Because there's rules and stuff. And he's like, yeah, we're good to go. So we started playing it, and I think it's starting to catch on. I know that there's, you know, some people out there that don't like it, but I think for the most part, there's a greater majority that do like it. And so, we're going to keep rolling with it.
They didn't like it. All I see is love on Twitter for that. That and the woo-woo. Well, some people like the woo-woo, but, you know, I'm not worried about those people. You can't please them all.
Yeah, and I sit there, and I'm like, man, I don't know, because I have some people. One of my friends, she's one of the people that doesn't like it, and I'm just like, how can you not like it? The whole stadium is doing it, and slowly but surely it's growing on her, and I think in a couple of years she's gonna finally jump on board. But
you're gonna catch her woot wooting.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm gonna have a video of that and blackmail for life.
Pretty perfect. And also, I mean, if you're doing stuff that people love or hate, I think that's the sweet spot. It's when they get indifferent, that's how, when I think you're not doing a good job. So
yeah,
whatever, woot woot, that's what I say.
Woot woot.
Who is that, by the way? Is that just a clip, or is that somebody who's nobody knows is actually the woot woot guy?
Everybody knows the woot woot. It's the camel from the Geico commercials from Hump Day.
I didn't know that, but then again, most of my life is spent with streaming services and not cable, so I don't see a whole lot of those.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, it was the whole what day is it? Hump Day. And then at the end of it, he woo-woos, and it's stuck, and it's going to stick around. We love that.
That is cool. So do people get to, like, give you suggestions? This is like a wedding where they come and drop you a five and go, come on, man, you got to play this for me.
Somewhat. We'll have occasionally. I have an email through Pepsi Center on our Avs music website page. And so people can, like, send in questions and comments. And so, yeah, some people be like, hey, you should check out this song, or, you know, hey, what was that song that you played, you know, for Puck Drop or whatever. And so, yeah, I'm always open. I mean, if people have ideas, I mean, it never hurts. They might have a great idea, and at the same time, there's some stuff that, you know, I'll take a listen and it doesn't work in my mind. And so, you know, sometimes it's a little tougher to throw those out into the arena when you're not exactly confident in it. And then, you know, knowing you might get reamed for it, you know, or something. So, if it sounds good in my head and I think it'll work, you know, I'll test it out in the arena pregame and then, you know, possibly roll with it in game.
So when you're doing the pregame stuff, are you kind of putting on a show for the guys who are getting the arena ready, the ice ready and all that?
Nah, honestly, all I do is from 5:15, I just put together a nice queue of different stuff so that the fans and everybody that's in there, you know, they're just getting to hear everything so that it's not, hey, you only played pop music, or, you know, hey, it was all country, you know, it's
what happened to disco?
A good mixture. Disco, we get a little bit of disco. We probably could use a little bit more.
I'm not actually a huge fan of the disco, but I imagine that there are a lot of people who are.
It is. I mean, it's good stuff. It's stuff that people recognize and they can tap their feet to, you know? And so, you know, I say the feet tapping stuff for in game, but we try to mix in all that stuff because people, you know, it just, I don't know that. I think that kind of helps create a party vibe somewhat.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of people in there. And I think that really the demographic is older than people would expect. There's some young people, but I think there's quite a bit in the, I shouldn't say old, but like 40s, 50s. I think that's where you see the season ticket holders.
Yeah, no, I would
agree. Totally wrong, but.
No. I would agree with that. I think that, you know, we try to make a good mix, but at the same time, I think that, you know, we probably cater more to the classic rock, oldies, and, you know, just mainstream music, because, you know, that's going to touch a majority of the fan base between, you know, that type of that, those genres of music.
Right. So when this is all over, do you guys do a little post-production meeting, or are you just out the door?
No, usually, you know, we'll all tell everybody, hey, good game, you know, and then high five after wins and stuff. But then actually, now everybody kind of takes off. We just play a couple of walkout tunes and then everybody's on to the next one.
Yeah. Do you guys throw something like a closing time out there? Something very literal? Like, hey, thanks. You have to leave now.
No, it depends. Like if we win, I like to play fun music. Another One Bites the Dust, Celebration. If we lose, you know, it's like Glad You Came, When It's Over by Sugar Ray, just some of that stuff. You just kind of try to play to the mood and everything, because if you get beat, nobody wants to walk out of the arena and hear all these happy tunes and everything. So we try to just keep it, you know, somewhat upbeat and just fun music. You don't want to leave on a sad note, but at the same time, you can't really come out and be playing, you know, on top of the world if you didn't walk away with the win that night.
All right, so I'm going to throw a couple silly ones at you before we get into just some rapid fire questions. Some association kind of thing. So let's say that somebody on the other team is just having a little hissy fit about going to the box for something and just won't let the ref stop having it. What comes to mind right away?
I'd probably go with like a baby cry sound effect.
Nice. And you just have that queued up. You can get to that thing in 3 seconds.
Well, yeah, probably about that, because that's on one of the 360s, and so I just have to figure out what it is. So I just type in baby, and hopefully baby cry would come up after I, you know, pop that in there a couple times.
Right. Okay, so what about an amazing save by a goalie? Is there something special there?
Yeah, usually we'll go with Unbelievable by EMF, or we'll go with Who Do You Love by George Thorogood for Varley. Nice. But then we also, I mean, the crowd now, they've picked up on it. So they're always doing the Varley chant after those huge saves. And so, then we don't play anything because we're like, let the crowd do their thing.
Yeah, if they're getting into it, definitely. Do you feel responsible to start a wave ever?
There's times that we will kind of coordinate to do it. You know, we might, if we're up big and we don't have anything planned for a timeout, you know, it's like, hey, let's get the wave going. And so Bernie goes down and he, you know, he gets the whole crowd going and it's awesome. Love, I'm not Bernie. One that hates the wave.
Bernie is like the best mascot I've seen in a long time.
He is awesome.
Rocky was probably one of the most athletic mascots I'd ever seen.
Yeah, he's
name from the Nuggets.
Sorry, what was that?
Is it Rocky from the Nuggets? That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Rocky's the Nuggets. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that guy was amazing.
Yeah, still the same guy. He's awesome.
That's pretty cool. So you get the behind the scenes thing, and you get to see these guys. I just know them by their big heads.
Yeah, exactly. I see him, and it's weird because then but it's weird. You see these guys outside of their costume, and then you see them when they're in their costume. They're the same exact people. Like, it's really cool to see. Like, you'd be like, oh. Yeah, I could totally see that. That's Bernie, you know?
Yeah, like the personality's got to kind of shine through still.
Exactly, exactly.
It's interesting. And, you know, another thing too is every time that I've seen a player, and I haven't seen a lot, I don't really go out of my way to find players, but like I ran into Joe Sakic at Ruby Tuesday or something once. He's just not as big as I thought he'd be. Most of these guys, they look so amazingly huge and almost, you know, superhero-ish on TV. And then you get with them, and you're like, oh, you're a human. That's weird.
Yeah, I'm a little bit smaller. I'm only like 5'8". So when I see all these guys, I'm like, oh, so that's what it looks like to be an adult, you know?
5'8", too. We're in the same boat here.
Oh, okay, well, man, maybe you're seeing some of the smaller players. But no, there's some guys like, yeah, you'll see some of the smaller guys like Tyson Berry and stuff. You know, you're like, oh, okay. But then you see some people like Zdeno Chara in the back calls or whatever. And you're just like, oh, my God, that guy's giant.
Like another species. And,
yeah. It's really weird, but no, I see what you mean. Yeah, it's sometimes you see him and you're like, wow, I'm surprised. But then there's other guys I see and I'm like, whoa, that's a big dude. I can see why you're out here playing.
I don't know if you've met Scott Parker, but I went to shake his hand and my hand disappeared.
I can believe that.
That is ginormous. Okay, man, let's do some rapid fire questions.
All right.
You up for it? And these won't be necessarily just about hockey or anything like that. Just kind of general questions that sort of are in the realm of what you do.
Okay.
First of all, do you listen to podcasts?
No, I do not. But I might start now.
You should have your own podcast. Again, like music, you could do this. I mean, imagine you could put it together pretty quick with the technical side that you have and all that. But it's a great way to put stuff out there. And if you're not putting things out there, nobody knows you exist, with the exception of you, who, you know, 18,000 people last night know you exist.
Well, yeah, but that was kind of, I mean, it's funny that you mention it. It was like, you know, you just found me on Twitter the other day because I just created a Twitter and a Facebook.
I think McGahey might have put you out there. I forget who it was. Maybe Mosier.
No, it was Connor, because for a couple of years we've been talking about it and we just never got around to it. And then I actually did an interview 2 weeks ago with Channel 7 News along with DJ Beds for the Broncos. DJ stuff going to, you know, all the stuff that went into the music for the AFC Championship game. And, you know, she told me, she flat out goes, I didn't know there was another DJ. She's like, I saw all the Beds and stuff online, but I didn't know there was another one until he mentioned you. And so that was kind of an eye-opening thing. And so it was like, hey, you know, I'd need to step up. You know, I don't need to be in stealth mode. You know, I should let people know that I'm out there and everything. Yeah. And so that's kind of where all this came from. And now, you know, hey, I'm doing a podcast with you. So it's been awesome in the first week and a half.
I'm a big fan of it. I mean, you don't have to be perfect to put yourself out there. I'm not exactly a podcast voice or a guy who even speaks well half the time. I am a master of mumbling, honestly. But, you know, I think that putting it out there is better than not putting it out there. I think that people appreciate what you do, and they probably want to have some sort of interaction with you. So at the end of this, I'm going to ask you how you'd like for people to keep up with you or give you suggestions if you want those. But we'll be careful with that, because you probably will get some.
Oh, that's fine. I don't mind that at all.
Cool. So yeah, I would, if you need some ideas on podcasts, I'd be happy to share those with you. There's some really good ones out there. And for me, I'm not a guy who, I don't read well. I like books. I don't like fiction, but there's so many podcasts from so many people that it doesn't have to be your industry for you to get something out of it. Like, I've been listening to this book from Seneca. I don't know if you know who that is, but super profound old guy who speaks in a language that I just barely understand. But some of the logic from however many years ago that was, 1,500, I don't know. It's just amazing how it applies to everyday life, even things that you do in your job.
Huh. Yeah.
And no, especially behavior psychology. And yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. I'll stop geeking out on that one, but I'm going to hook you up with some stuff there for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'd appreciate that.
So what advice would you give your 20-year-old self? I'm guessing you passed 20 at this point.
Yep. I'm 33. Just had a birthday last week. So man, thank you. Man, 13 years ago, I would just tell myself, man, just keep doing what you enjoy doing. Like, I don't make the most money in the world, but I have a job that I love going to on a daily basis. And it's never tough to roll out of bed and be like, oh man, I got to go work a Broncos game. I got to go work an Avs game. So I would just tell myself, you know, don't give up. You know, you can do whatever you want to do.
Good stuff. Kyle Keefe said roughly the same thing when I talked to him. I asked him the two questions that I asked you two, the one about if you won the lottery, would you still do this? And he was like, I just talked to my wife about that and I would absolutely still do this. I can't not do this.
It's so tough. Like, sports is such a tough area to get into, that like, it's like, you don't, once you're in, you don't ever want to leave, you know? Right. And it's like, I mean, I've had other jobs. I worked at a bank as a teller, you know, to try and help pay the bills and everything. But then they're like, hey, you got to choose. Do you want to be full-time here? Or do you want to do the part-time DJ thing? And I was like, I'm going to go be a part-time DJ, because this job, there's 29 other DJs in the NHL that do what I do. And those jobs don't come available every day. So you kind of got to roll with it as long as you can and just live it up and enjoy it. Cause you know, you never know when it's going to end. You got to stay on top of your game and hopefully it lasts a long time, but there's always somebody that wants to do your job and they'll do it, you know, I would assume, try to do it as well as you can. And so you got to stay humble and try to just do the best job you can so that you can continue to do this as long as possible.
I hear you. And there's a lot of pressure there too, that you can put on yourself if you want to, but it sounds like you're just having a good time. And I think that comes through.
Oh, totally.
So I'm guessing you don't just kind of follow a lot of hockey news just for the sake of it, but do you run into people at the arena who you talk hockey with? Like, I know AJ from BSN, he has conversations in the press box with people like Peter McNabb or Michel Goulet. I mean, do you run into people like that where you absorb hockey knowledge from the source?
Not specifically. Usually if I'm talking, it's with just kind of our game entertainment staff. You know, well, last night we went out after the game and we're just talking about, you know, the game at hand that just had happened, you know, the stretch run and all this stuff. And so it's kind of nice to get some other people's viewpoints from, you know, just some of us that work. Cause sometimes you can get a clouded judgment, you know, cause we do have something invested, you know, you're pulling for your team to pull it out. Cause you're there working your butt off on a nightly basis. And, you know, so sometimes you can get a clouded judgment, but then when you know, talk to somebody else, it's stepped away that might be part of the broadcast side or, you know, just a utility for an away show, you know, they have a different viewpoint on things and it's kind of nice to hear, you know, what they're getting. But yeah, we rarely sit down and talk. I think Mosher's probably the one that he'll come over and talk to us, but when he does, he comes over to talk about music. He doesn't want to talk about, you know, AV stuff. It's, you know, hey, you guys are regular guys. Let's talk about guy stuff.
I don't really know the guy, but he seems as authentic as you can get. Like, I don't believe there's an on and off switch for him. I think he's just Mosher. That's just it. And it happens to be really cool and good for radio.
Yeah, Mosher, he's amazing. He's one of my favorite guys. It's weird, though. We got a really good staff over there between him, Keith, Rycroft, Peter McNabb, and Mike Haynes. Like, those guys bring so much hockey knowledge. And then, like, you got Rycroft with his crazy suits and stuff. And it's just, it's so weird, but it's like, it's such a good team, the way that everybody just complements each other.
It's really awesome. I mean, I don't think people understand that there's a team and there's team chemistry and things work or they don't work. And it sounds like you guys got it rolling right now, which is awesome.
Yeah, we definitely do.
All right, I'm gonna switch gears on you again. Let's say that you had a billboard middle of Times Square, somewhere very, very noticeable, and you could put anything on it for any reason. What would you put on that billboard?
Man, on a billboard.
Right. And this is your chance to share a message, whatever message you want. It could be, hey, I mean, if you're a musician, buy my album. Or if, you know, you just want to tell people, be cool to each other. Like, what would you put on that billboard if you knew it would get so many eyes and you could actually put something in people's brains for the day?
Man, I think that I would just want to, like, give people a glimpse into my world. It'd just be something simple, like living the dream, and then just have, like, you know, have pictures of, you know, me and my wife, and have pictures from, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs a couple of years ago. Have pictures from, you know, what it was like when the stadium was shaking from everybody doing jump around a couple of years ago. You know, or the Tebow to Demarius pass that, you know, won that playoff game a couple of years ago. Right. Just kind of giving people a glimpse into some of that stuff that, you know, they may not be able to experience.
But when they say that you can feel energy in a building, I mean, beyond the actual shaking of the physical structure, can you kind of like feel an energy when something's going on?
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, you know, you'll sit there and you'll be like, oh, it's dead in here tonight. Okay, well, we're just going to play, you know, just play recognizable stuff. We don't need to be trying to get everybody up and dancing. but there was a game a couple weeks ago that it was like, hey man, it's, we just want to have a little party in here. You could feel there was a little bit of energy. And so, you know, we did like a sing-along cam with the Backstreet Boys and then came right out of that to Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody, and did a dance cam, and it went over amazingly. It was, it's awesome. And so, yeah, it's easy to pick up on if there's energy in the building or not.
I've talked to a couple comedians who talk a lot like you just did right there, say a lot of the same things that you said, but the ability to kind of control that still, just, I find that amazing. That's, it's almost like a superpower that you have the ability to change not just a couple people, but masses of people. And you can see it go viral right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, it is. It's like I said, that's why I'll look over the edge and see, because like sometimes you'll play something and you'll just be like, oh, this is horrible, you know, but it's, I mean, still, if I play Turn Down for What to this day, like still half the crowd is just going to get up and just start convulsing, you know, because that's what you do during that song. And so, yeah, it's cool to see that down there. And then you're like, all right, cool. Well, I affected all those people, so they're going to go home happy tonight.
You ever turn to the guy next to you and go, watch, I'm going to start a mosh pit right here.
No, but I don't know. I used to joke back in the day. I was like, I'm a puppet master, because I was like, watch, I'm going to play Cotton Eye Joe. They're all going to get up and dance. I'm going to play Everybody Clap Your Hands, and everybody's going to clap their hands. And
all right, let's touch on that one really quick. So there used to be, I don't know if there still is, Cotton Eye Joe guy. This is just how I know him. I don't know if they have real names or not, but that was like a thing that happens often in the can, right? Mm-hmm. You get up there and do some crazy dancing.
Yeah.
And then there's T-shirt guy. Again, I don't know his name, but he wears a lot of T-shirts and dances like a madman.
So, yeah, that's that guy's name is Cameron Hughes.
Cameron Hughes, I like that. Cameron's a good name.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, that sort of thing, you have a little more involvement than just the music then, right? Because you're still coordinating with those people, and anything that goes on the Jumbotron, you're typically supporting, or is that completely out of your hands?
So, like the Cotton Eye Joe guy, that's just an average fan that just is at the game. And, you know, we just know that, like, hey, the guy gets up and dances every time, so why not go to him, you know?
That's even crazier. So he's just like a regular Cotton Eye Joe guy.
Yeah, just a regular. I mean, that song, anybody, everybody dances to.
Not like that guy, though. That guy goes nuts. I thought that guy was kind of like planted. Like, there's another guy, I think Columbus, who is a very large man who paints his belly and does some weird jiggling and stuff. And I was like, they've got to hire that guy, right? I mean, maybe he did it once and they went, okay, come to every game, we'll give you a ticket. But to know that those are like just real fans doing their thing, that's even crazier.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's, yeah, you just find these people that like you have no idea, you know, because we'll get somebody that's just calling us on the radio like, oh, hey, come over here. You know, there's like one of the, I filled in for a Nuggets game a couple weeks ago, and all of a sudden there's like some girl that was just busting it out that worked for Aramark that we had no idea. And then after the game, we were talking about it, and my buddy Mark's like, I think I saw that girl riding in on the light rail, and like she was just rapping to herself in on the light rail. And then here come to find out it's the same girl that just is just going all out when we played Watch Me by Cilento.
Wow, that's crazy. It's more authentic. I had no idea that was so organic that way. I thought for sure that these people were planted. Like the shirt guy, Cameron, he knows what's going on, right? But he didn't just wear a lot of shirts to the game. Like, he's part of the crew, and maybe they gave him the freedom to say, find a way to get these out there with some energy or something.
Yeah, no, he's someone that he works for many sports teams and stuff, you know, almost on like a nightly basis, it seems like. And with me and him, I've actually worked with him for, I think, close to like 30 events over the past 10 years or so, because we used to do a bunch of games for the Bakersfield Condors when I was working in the minors. And he's one of my favorite people to work with. And yeah, I think it's vice versa for him as well, because we just know what to do. Like, he always says, I make him work the hardest out of any other DJ in the league, because I hit him with, you know, fun dance music every whistle. And he just knows that he's got to get up and give her every whistle, because, you know, I'm not going to let him have a break. And he's actually had to get oxygen and stuff during the intermissions.
I believe that. Like, the one game I was at recently, he was very near me, and the guy looked tired and wiped out. And I've seen some wiped out guys. I've, you know, been around some of the MMA locally and seen these guys who are fighting for their lives being wiped out. He was that wiped out. Like, he had to sit down and take a break, and he was just kind of slumped over. Like, I don't know if that was part of the show or not, but that's a tough job that guy's got.
No, that's Cameron Hughes, man. He gives his 100% every night that he goes out, because he wants to He knows he's kind of like me. He knows that we do have an influence on the game. You know, if he's not cheering people on, or if he's not getting people to cheer, and I'm playing bad music, there's going to be a decidedly different vibe in that building, and you can't go back and fix that after the fact. You know, you got to move on. And so, you know, I want whoever comes out to a game that, you know, that might be their one game they come out to all year. So I want them to have fun.
Yeah,
regardless.
Let's be honest, the games aren't super cheap, especially to get a good seat, you know? So yeah, when exactly. People get there, they want their money's worth, and a lot of that's on you.
Very true. Very true.
Okay, just a couple more, and then we'll go ahead and wrap this up and make sure that we get all the information about you and how people can contact you.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, clearly you are touched by the music. So if you could give people just three artists to check out that they maybe don't know about, something that isn't so common, what would you give to people there?
Oh, let's see. I'm really digging Saint Motel right now. They've got a couple different songs out right now. My Type, Cold Cold Man. So that's one that I would check out. Oh, what else? It's tough because I usually listen to like one or two songs. I don't listen to the whole album, but that's one that I have. Flo Rida's got some good stuff that's come out right now too, which, I mean, people know about him, but he's got a new album out, and that's really good, My House, and I Don't Like It, I Love It are two of my favorite songs off of that. And then third, I'm stumped. I don't know. I can only come up with two right now.
That's right. I was actually going to see if I could talk you into maybe putting together a playlist for us at some point, five or six songs on Spotify. But
I could totally do that.
Yeah, you're on Spotify represented?
No, I'm not, but I'm sure I can figure that out.
Let's do it, yeah. And then we'll just make it so that people can find your playlist and get a little feel for you there.
Yeah, definitely. And that probably leads into also some of that other stuff, because I was going to say, with that music page, we list out everything. So maybe that's something where I can load up all the stuff that we have on the Avs website as far as warm-up songs and power play songs and all that stuff.
I was just hanging out with some of the people last night, the Avs fam. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but the collection of people basically on Twitter who get online and kind of communicate throughout the games. And we were putting together a pregame list. So before you watch the game, because many of us, I mean, we're at home and you don't get all that stuff that you guys are doing in the arena. So honestly, just kind of having some music before the game is cool to kind of get you in the mood. So we were putting something like that together. But being the pro that you are, man, I would love it if you took a shot at that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool to hear. You know, I had no idea that people were doing that kind of stuff, getting to play home, you know, Avs DJ from at home.
Yeah, you should check it out. Just throw in the hashtag AvsFam, and you're going to find a lot of really cool people who are really, really into the Avs. I mean, nothing like sports to bring people together, and this is one of those cases.
AvsFam. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely start making sure that hashtag's in there.
Cool, man. All right, I'm going to go with one more on this, and then we'll get into your info really quick.
Okay.
So yeah, I would be curious to know if you have thoughts on how technology is changing the way that we consume the game. And that could be at the game, on TV, I mean, just any aspect of it. Where have you seen technology make a change for the better or for the worse in the game of hockey?
So, I mean, technology, like, it's everywhere. I mean, if you come to the Pepsi Center now, you see that we've got one of the largest boards Pepsi Vision boards in all of North America. We've got an on-ice projection system. We've got a state-of-the-art sound system. I mean, we have spent so much money as an organization to provide fans that come to the game with the best possible experience, you know, and some different stuff that you can't get at home. Like, yeah, you might be able to see the on-ice projection show from at home on your TV, but it's completely different when you're at the arena and you see the ice and it looks like it drops away and you're feeling the bass from the rumble of the avalanche before the team comes out. So you know, the technological advances have just made it like it's sensory overload. I think at some of these games, like there's so much stuff going on that, you know, that's what has to happen. You know, there's a mascot going on. There's always something to keep you entertained as well as the game, because we want you to make sure that you feel like, hey, that was money well spent to come out and enjoy that game tonight. And because, I mean, it can be convenient for people to stay home and be able to watch the game and see the replays and stuff. But it still doesn't suffice for all the energy and atmosphere that you experience at a game, that, you know, it just doesn't come through on the TV, unfortunately.
I agree. The way you said it makes it sound like you're inside of an Oculus Rift, like you're almost in an alternate reality with all that going on, because it is so immersive and there's so much going on at every single moment.
Yeah. TV does a good job of translating what's going on in the game and stuff. But yeah, when you're there in person, you just the vibe that's in the building, the energy, the interactions that you have with other fans. And when you start hearing fans go back and forth and all that stuff, it's just that you don't get that at home, whereas you get that in the arena. And so that's something special. And then along the technology lines, I think that, like, honestly, I think some of these reviews and stuff, like, they've got cameras now that are above the goals, so they can review all goals. One of the best in, you know, technological advances that we've had, that now we can actually show those replays, you know, with that Toronto would look at if they were looking at a replay of a goal. And you can see, you know, oh yeah, you know, how do we not get that puck in the net? Or, oh yeah, that definitely crossed the line. So I think that's probably been one of the biggest things, is that now they've got the coaches' challenges, and we've got some different camera angles and stuff that can give us better views of some of those plays that back in the past it was like, I got no idea where that puck is. Now you can look down and see right where it's at.
Yeah, and if I'm seeing it right, I'm pretty sure they're able to, I mean, not just give that on the fly, but it's overcranked. So you're seeing, instead of like 30 frames a second, you're seeing 60 or more, and you can get so much more detail on what happened. Because I remember when this first started happening with the cameras on the nets and all that, it's like, true, you can see it, but it looks a little bit like a 7-Eleven crime scene. You know, it's like you can't quite tell what's going on. And now it's just super clear. It's micro. You get right on it like you would with a zoom lens anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. HD, just it's amazing what you can shoot. And then, you know, everything's going to start going to 4K. And I mean, it's just going to keep getting better. And it's our job to make sure that, you know, we keep up with those advancements and make sure that we can present the best possible product for, you know, for our fans.
Yeah, we appreciate you, man. We really do. So what are your goals then for next year, or for this year, I guess, since we just started? Like, what are your goals kind of moving forward? Much of the same, or?
Well, yeah, it's kind of just, you know, I just want to continue to do the DJ thing, you know, hopefully someday we'll be able to get on full time with the sports team. Cause ideally that's what I'd like to do, just to be able to cut back a little bit. I'd like to spend more time. I just got married, in September. So I'd like to spend a little bit more time with the wife in the off season.
Wives do appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She's very, very considerate. And so thanks, Ellen. I really appreciate that.
You know, that's not uncommon for somebody in your position and the job you do in that the industry, is that, you know, typically the wives or significant others, whatever the case may be, they're the ones who are really amazing, that they put up with it and they deal with it. And I mean, not just put up with it, but, you know, to let somebody else go out there and do what they love to do and come home late at night from it or things like that, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. She's been very supportive, and, you know, I appreciate it. And, you know, we still talk about everything to make sure, you know, I'm not taking it too far and everything. But when you work for seven teams, you know, it can get to be a daunting, you know, schedule to try and, you know, plan stuff and do that kind of stuff. So definitely like to try to improve in that area a little bit. And other than that, just want to keep, hopefully the Broncos win the Super Bowl this Sunday. Maybe we'll get rings. That'd be really nice.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm really excited for that game, actually. I know I'm the hockey guy, but I am a homer, man. I'm a home sports kind of guy all the way around, with the exception of the Rockies a little bit lately, just because between hockey and baseball, there's so many games. It's hard to keep up, man.
Yeah, it's tough. Baseball is definitely the toughest sport, and I don't even work like an entire full season. So like, I give those guys major props, because they're there 81 games, you know, and you never know how long a game's going to last. So I give those guys major props. But yeah, probably the only other goal would be just to, you know, stay current and just make sure to get a lot of me time in there as well as work time.
Yeah,
have a nice balance.
Cool, man. So what's your ask for people out there? Is there anything you'd like them to check out or give you some feedback, some ideas? You want them to find you on Twitter and tell you what they want to hear?
Yeah, basically, just because I'm all new to this social media stuff, you know, I've got a Facebook page, DJ Triple T on Facebook. You know, like it. Feel free to shoot me ideas or, you know, comments, questions. I'm open to all that stuff. Same thing on Twitter, the DJ Triple T. You'll see there's a picture of me at an Avs game. And then we've also got an email, or and I have an email at Pepsi Center that people can write me to at avs.music@teamkse.com. And again, that's where people can send me questions, thoughts, ideas. You know, I'm good with whatever. It's being new to this. I'm looking forward to seeing all the interaction that I'm going to have with the fans that I didn't have in the past.
That's a really cool. It's a different level. It really is when you can communicate with people and they can communicate with you. I mean, I don't know if you would have thought that people would want to talk to the guy who does the music at these games, but I think they absolutely would. I think this is something where being able to actually reach out and have a conversation with people is something new with social media, that there's good and bad, no doubt about it. But for the most part, it's all good stuff. Just interacting with the people who are like-minded and love the things you love.
Oh yeah, exactly. I've really learned this. We started doing the DJ of the game last year, and it's been really interesting. Like the kids that come up, and you know, people are like, "Oh, well, I do music for my theater company at our high school," and I was like, "That's amazing," you know. And then they come up and they just want to see how I do it, you know, to see how different it is, and it's just cool because everybody walks away and they're thrilled with the experience that they just had, that they got to run music for warmups and. They're just clicking a couple of buttons, but still it's like, hey man, take all the credit when we win the game tonight, you know. You ran warm-up music, so
you never know how that'll affect people either. I can think of sometimes in my life just little small things that probably weren't a big deal to the person who did them for me, but those can change everything.
Exactly. And I love it. It's like I get to share my job, you know. That's why, like, when you were like, hey, can we set up a podcast, I was like, let me check. But yeah, I definitely want to do it, because I love talking about this, because I truly love what I do and wouldn't change it for anything in the world.
Yeah, I appreciate you hugely for doing it. It's stuff that truly is fascinating to me too. I mean, I hope to kind of dig around a little bit and find other people in your world who do these sort of things, to find out what it really means to put something together and what work goes into it. And then also their angle of it, because the perspective you have, not just from the press box, I'm sure that's a bird's eye thing, but just, you know, being around the game in a different way and seeing team after team and seeing it over and over, it's different. You get a different feel for it and you speak to it in a different way. And that helps people like me to really appreciate the game more.
Yeah, it's great, and we appreciate what you're doing as far as, you know, letting us get out there as far as what we do, because, you know, we'd never be able to do something this in-depth with, you know, something in-game, because we don't have the time. And so, you know, it's nice that people have access to this if they want to go and learn more about, you know, what the DJ role is, and, you know, how it impacts the game, and just a little bit more about me.
And then come find you on social media and talk to you about it. That's big
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. Looking forward to it.
The man, the myth, the legend, the maker of music, DJ Triple T, Craig Turney. Find him on Twitter at the DJ Triple T, or find him at Facebook by going to the show notes and clicking on the link there. And you know, it's not every day that you have access to an arena DJ, so stop by and say hi. Follow him on Twitter. Tell him what you want to hear. Tell him what you don't like. He's open, he's willing, and he's available. Last but not least, a huge thank you to Craig for doing the podcast, and also for you for checking out the podcast. Share it with your friends if you love it, and go subscribe on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search for Colorado Hockey, or go to coloradohockey.com and click on the button that says get it on iTunes. This and every other podcast at coloradohockey.com is brought to you by AvsFam, ABSFAM.com, for the coolest hockey shirts that you can't find anywhere else, because they're only available online at AvsFam, ABSFAM.com. Riley, Landy, Dutchie, EJ, Picks, so many shirts to choose from. Check them out and stay awesome.